Round one was over. Parents won. Kids sip.
I only hope that we never lose sight of one thing. That was all started by a mouse.
Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
Gentlemen, start your engine.
To infinity and beyond.
There's a touch of madness around here.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to DDP Today, a show that's a little about us, a lot about Disney and fun, but the whole family. My name is Justin, and today I am joined by some very, very special friends. I gave the guys the week off. I said, fellas, we're getting into summer. Take the week and enjoy some time with the family, because I have some special, special guests coming in tonight, and we are going to chat about nothing other than one of my favorite parks on the planet, Disneyland. Before we get into all that fun, let me say hello to my friends, Craig and Zoe. What's up, guys?
Hi.
Hey, it's so nice to get a chance to be on again and to have some fun with you tonight.
Oh, man, I tell you what, dude, every time we get to hang out is the best time of my day. Like, I always enjoy seeing you. I cannot wait until we're in the parks together again really, really soon, because that is when it's really epic and a lot of fun. And we're going to get into your Disneyland trip in just a second. But I do want to talk about a few things, because the one thing you're a member of, and we were just talking about before we came on, is you're a member of the DDP Sorcerers Running club there, and you and I were chatting about how much running means to us and how it's really helped us. And I don't know about you, man, but the South is getting super hot and the Midwest is flooded out of everything I've seen. So it's got to be tough for both of us to get our runs in.
Yeah, you know, it's great because I haven't officially started my training yet. Zoe was asking me today, like, when I'm going to officially start training for marathon. And that probably won't be till like August and September. But honestly, like, I'm just out there running all of the time. And it just, you know, your group in particular has been so great for motivation to see where people are coming and where they're the steps that they're taking and all different levels. Just really encouraging. So I just say to join that Facebook page, even if like you're not intending to do Run Disney events, but you just want a bit of motivation for moving and getting out there. You're not going to find a more positive environment than over there.
I'll tell you, man, it's been really inspiring to me. And it's something that's kind of taken, you know, its wings and kind of taken off on its own. And those guys do such a good job over there with all that stuff and the show that they put out. And even today, I got a call from Coach Kyle, like talking about, hey man, I was looking at your stats from your Garmin and this is, maybe we can do this and we can do this. And just, they're so motivating and everybody posting their runs. It's just a really, really special thing. But also, I got to say this, I am super, super excited for you and for you, Zoe. And I cannot say congratulations enough for the big news that you guys are engaged. And I want to say congratulations. Absolutely amazing. I'm so happy for you guys.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, she said yes. I don't know. I may have tricked her. I don't know what I did to be able to do that, but it was good. It was Disney-ified. I rented out a...
Tell me about it. Yeah.
Kind of in a small town just to the north of us. And we watched Cinderella. And then after Cinderella, I proposed. And then it was her birthday. So we actually had already pre-planned a birthday party where people were going to be Disney-bounding. And so it turns out that she had already planned to Disney-bound as Cinderella before we watched the movie and before the proposal happened. So it was just a really fun day, a really fun night, and just perfect weather. And it worked out for me pretty well, I'd say.
Yeah,
how nervous were you?
You know, it's funny because like I was nervous about just her figuring it out before it went on. I wasn't necessarily nervous for the answer. I was more like nervous for like all the steps to get there, you know, and then to make sure that she didn't figure it out. And I guess you had a bit of an inkling, but still, it worked out pretty well.
The most difficult challenge he faced that day was that I had told him, it's my birthday. I just want to be comfy, cozy. And I don't usually say this kind of thing. So I don't know what made me want to say this to you. But I was like, I think on Saturday, I'm just going to wear like my oversized Mickey sweater and some leggings and just be cozy all day. And he went into straight up panic mode. So he had one of my best friends lie to me and tell me that she wasn't coming to my birthday party to ask if we could grab drinks after I was done with work that day. As like a little like pre-celebration or whatever. And so I was like, yeah, of course. And she's suggesting these like cute places downtown. And I'm still planning on dressing in my oversized Mickey sweater and leggings because I just didn't really care all that much. Not that it wasn't a great opportunity to spend my time with my friends, but I was like, if I'm going to be at work, I'm going to be cozy and I'll just show up and it'll all be fine. So then when that didn't work, he had my boss lie to me and tell me all these people telling me all these fictional stories that we needed updated headshots for my weekend job that I do teaching theater. And we had just gotten professional headshots done last summer. And she said that our current headshots weren't springy enough. And I was confused because they were very like spring summer focused last time. And so I was told that I had to be dressed up for this headshot that we were going to take for work. So I put on a nice dress and a denim jacket and, you know, dress like I would for my headshot. And I still packed my oversized Mickey sweater and my leggings. And I was like, I'm going to change as soon as this picture is done. So my best friend is my co-teacher for our theater class. And she then had the photographer text and say, no, I'm running late. I'm running so late, you guys. I'm so sorry. And like basically stalled just to make sure that I wasn't in an oversized Mickey sweatshirt.
That was the most nerve-wracking part of it, was because I know if she was in a Mickey sweatshirt, she would have felt really comfy, but she also would have killed me for the photos afterwards. So
I can't imagine, man. Like, try just the strings you have to pull in the last second to try to make this thing like epic and perfect. But it all came together, and that's the great thing about it. And
it did.
I was so excited for you guys when Craig texted me and Saul, and man, I tell you, it's just, you two are two of the best people, and I'm very fortunate to have you all in my lives. For those of you who don't know Craig and Zoe, you can of course check them out. Craig, I've told this story many times. I'll say it every time that I have you on the show. Craig was the first person to really support us when we started the Disney Dads podcast 7 years ago, and he reached out, and I didn't know Craig at all. We had never met, and he reached out and said, hey, man, welcome to the Disney podcast community. If you need anything, I'm here. And that's always stuck with me. It shows the quality of character that you have as a person. And we've created this great friendship over the last 7 years and been able to spend ups and downs, highs and lows, and all those great things in between together, which has just been really, really nice. But you can check out Craig and Zoe over at Beyond the Mouse. Tell me a little, for those people at DDP who are listening who have not checked out Beyond the Mouse, tell me a little bit about the show before we get into your Disneyland trip.
Yeah, sure. We just say that we do all things Disney. So it's not necessarily specifically park focused, although we love the parks and we love to talk about them. We do some movie reviews. We do a lot of interviews, interviews that have ranged from folks in Disney Imagineering to actors, to directors, animators, creatives. So those have been really fun to be able to do. And yeah, we just have a lot of fun. So it's myself and my two permanent co-hosts are Brett and Vanessa. And then you'll also hear people like Zoe, like our friend Brandon, who is just a film encyclopedia, like our friend B, who joined us actually in the marathon a couple of years ago and had such a great time. Vanessa, B, and Sarah Castanjo are like best friends still because of that weekend. So, you know, it's just like the content creator community kind of brings people together. And that's what I love so much about it. But yeah, we'd love for you to check out Beyond the Mouse. And I'd say that, you know, this might be a good companion piece to our trip report that we did with Brett and Vanessa and Zoe and I, just kind of talking at them for like an hour about our Disneyland trip and how excited we were about it. So go and check out that episode for sure.
I love it. Well, let's get into it, because like I've said for a long time that the majority of people that listen to GDP today are Walt Disney World people. They go to Disney World, they travel there quite often, or, you know, whenever they do their Disney vacations, that's where they go. Very few people travel to Disneyland. We do have our West Coasters, and we love you guys, the Smiths. We love you. I can hear you out there yelling right now. But I do say this. If you are a Disney fan, Disneyland needs to be on your list of places to go. I mean, Zoe, it is by far, I think, the perfect Disney experience to walk where Walt walked. Man, is that tough to say. And experience, you know, the start of it all there in Disneyland.
I agree 100%. We didn't get to do this on this trip, but I went to Disneyland by myself for the first time last March. And I did Walt's Main Street tour. So it was with one of the Disneyland VIP tour guides. And we just walked up and down Main Street and we got all of the backstory and the history and lots of stories and things like that about, you know, the period where Walt was developing what became Main Street USA and Disneyland. And the tour ended by actually visiting his apartment and getting to see it. And we all got to take a picture by his lamp that, you know, is that iconic lamp that sits in the window that shows you that Walt's always in the park with you. And it was really cool. So I agree wholeheartedly, any Disney fan should check out Disneyland Park.
Yeah, it's a very special moment if you're a Disney fan. For those of you who've not gone, it's a must-do. It's a bucket list item for people for sure. I always tell people, you do Walt Disney World, but plan to go to Anaheim. Plan to go to Disneyland, experience it. And look, the reason, too, that I am very, very thankful for you is, Craig, I was very, very fortunate to be able to plan your vacation and to help out with the details and do all that fun stuff. So I appreciate you guys for supporting With Me Travel. And of course, if you're listening right now and you need help with any vacation, get a hold of me, Justin, at awaywithmetravel.com. Now my shameless plug is out of the way. Let's get into your trip.
Well, can I continue your shameless plug a little bit?
Yeah.
I'll say it's interesting. It's funny because I always also use you when I'm going to Disney World, even though I feel like I have such a better handle of Disney World. I just want to support you and your business. And I know that it's not going to cost me any extra. So I might as well like pitch it over to my friend. And you are so kind that you're even still like, you know what, I'm still going to wake up for you at like 5 or 6 in the morning or whatever to book your dining and all of that. But what I'll say is what was interesting about the Disneyland trip was I really felt like a tourist at Disney. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a DVC owner and I feel like Walt Disney World is a second home. And so it's like, I really know that park so well, but I kind of didn't necessarily study up a lot on Disneyland because I wanted Zoe to be able to be my guide a bit, but then also I just wanted to soak it all in. And so it was kind of fun to be able to plan with you. And I remember like texting back and forth about even simple things like 60 days out doing dining reservations, how crazy different that is, even though it's the exact same system, like just the way that Disneyland handles those things is so different. So it really was great to have you in my corner. And it is for all of our trips coming up. You've got our cruise that's coming up in July, and there was a huge change to that, and you were very helpful with that. So I just got to say that, you know, of course, Way With Me Travel is wonderful, and Justin's wonderful, and a lot of the people that are in DDP today, the universe of that, are also agents. So you should definitely go and help those folks out by supporting their business. But it's also, even if you think you're a true die-in-the-wool Disney fan, you know it all, they're going to be able to help you out. So thanks for just everything that you do for planning all these trips for us.
Well, thank you, man. I appreciate you very, very much. I'm excited to get into your trip. Let's talk about your first day, your travel day. Flying out of...
Yeah.
We flew out of St. Louis, and we flew into Long Beach, which is what I did on my trip the year before. And I really love the Long Beach Airport. It is small, but it is a breeze to get through. And so we actually, our first 3 days of the trip, stayed with Craig's good friend from childhood and his wife and family. We spent 3 days in the mountains with them before heading over to Disneyland. So our actual travel day to Disneyland involved a few hours in the car battling some of that LA traffic.
Yeah.
Did you rent a car?
No, because we actually had them drive us. So they picked us up in Long Beach. We stayed in Long Beach that night. And then we actually met another friend of mine in LA, and he works for Netflix. And so he was able to kind of like take us onto their campus, which was just kind of cool. And then to see like the bits of Disney around LA as well, you know, in the Walk of Fame, to see they're right next to each other. You've got Betty White and Walt Disney stars, and to see the El Capitan. Now, we didn't go into it because we just didn't have a lot of time to be able to hop in on these tours and things like that, but to still be able to see like the Ghirardelli shop right next to it and to see all the Disney that's going on there, hop across the street to the TCL Chinese Theater and see like the Avengers footprints and handprints and things like that. So it was still kind of like, we got a bit of Disney still in the LA timeframe.
Yeah, we also went to the Funko Pop store,
that was so cool.
Absolutely a must do if you are in LA. It's more almost like an interactive museum than it is a store, but it has every Funko Pop you could imagine, lots of like Loungefly and
there was this like messenger bag that I really want. So Loungefly is trying to like get guys sucked in now.
Yeah,
and so there's like this rebel messenger bag that was, I was like, man, I should have just bought it. But it's like a backpack, like a Star Wars backpack. But there was cool because there are like these sets with gigantic Funkos.
Like
and then
size.
You get to kind of put yourself in the set. So, you know, like there's the three sitting at the Hogwarts table and you get to be like the fourth person.
That's
sitting.
That's epic, man.
There's a, my son loved, there was one where you were in a throne and all the Disney villains, life-size Funkos all around you. So cool. I'll post some of the pictures that we took there in the DDP today.
Yeah, for sure.
It was by far like one of the most fun things. And like, we didn't plan on doing that. That was kind of like, my friend was like, let's go to the Funko store. And I love Funko. So it was, that was really fun. But so it was cool to get a little bit of Disney beforehand. But then, yeah, we leave there. We stayed in the mountains, literally in the mountains in Forest Falls the last day. And then we started to go into Anaheim. We hit some traffic. And I'll say that that was the most like nerve-wracking hour and a half or 2 hours, because unlike Genie Plus at Walt Disney World, you can't utilize Genie Plus until you get into the park at Disneyland. And so that was a bit of a bummer for us, only because like then it's like we're stuck in traffic, and we know that my son really wants to ride Indiana Jones, and I see that that time, or well, Zoe's really checking it more.
Yeah, and it just kept going further and further back. We were like projected to get to the park around 10:30, and like the beginning of our drive there was like an 11:30 lightning lane, and then 20 minutes later all of a sudden it's noon, and then all of a sudden it's 1:30. And so by the time we even got to the park, what time did we even reserve that for? It was like in the evening, like dinner time was when we were able to do that. And then of course, if you're trying to like be strategic with your Genie Plus and your lightning lanes, being there that early and having a reservation that late takes up space in the queue for, you know, potentially stacking, reserving, things like that. So that was the only thing that got really stressful about being in the traffic, was just kind of watching all of those times go. Whereas, you know, if we had been at Disney World, we could have made that reservation at 7 a.m. knowing we were going to be there later. So that was definitely a difference that it took a little bit of adjusting to kind of figure out how we could best use that tool with the differences between the two parks.
Since you mentioned that, I want to get your opinion on something, because I think you'll agree with me, because you just said the first one. I'm going to do most everything I'm going to say is positive about Disneyland. Everyone knows it's my favorite park. I love it. I've got two things, though, that I really wish Disneyland would change. First is, you just nailed it, the fact that you have to be in the park to make your Genie Plus selection. It makes it tough, because even if you're staying on property or, you know, a good neighbor resort, the fact that you have to be inside the park, you have to have scanned your ticket, walk inside, be in the gate, makes it a little more, you know, a little tougher to stack and a plan and do all that fun stuff. So I wish they would change that. The second thing, and this one's crazy to me, is the fact that with dining, it's a day of, like, you're at 60 days, but you can only do for that day. So then you have to get up the next day and do for the next day. And then you have to do for the next day. And then you have to do for the next day. Instead of just being able to not, you know, I'm on property for 3 days, I can do all 3 days, that 60-day mark, a lot like Walt Disney World. And then the way they release their dining is super weird. For those of you who've never been to Disneyland, they have a time. They'll say, hey, dining opens at this time. It's look, it's Disneyland. They might open some earlier and some later and some at that time. They just, it's so laid back. It's so California. You know, that's the best way I can describe it. It's just so laid back and just like, whatever, we're fine. We got good weather and beaches and movie stars, you know. I wish they would change those things, though.
Well, and like the three of us are at an advantage, right? Because you're coming from the East Coast, Justin, so you're 3 hours ahead of like for sleep and all that. And then I'm 2 hours ahead. So it was like, you know, I didn't even have you book the dining for Disneyland, because I was like, well, shoot, like it's going to be on at 8 a.m. my time. Like I'm on my phone anyway. Like I'll just go ahead and get it, you know, especially for 3 days in a row. And so I did get like all the dining that I really wanted. And we can definitely talk about the meals that we had and how great they were. But the Genie Plus thing, and I will also say that we were restricted to a time frame for Zoe's a teacher. My son is in school, same school district. And so we were really restricted on when we can go, but we went when Disneyland was so packed. And so it was a much different and sometimes fr more frustrating experience for Zoe than it had been even a year earlier over her same spring break, because this happened to be the Easter week spring break that we went.
Yeah, our break was a week later this year than it was the year prior. And when I went on my solo trip, and granted, like being a solo traveler is a totally different experience than traveling with your family, but I just felt like I got to do everything I wanted to, and maybe even more than once, in a day at the park. And I felt like it was really easy to move through and all that sort of stuff. And it was just plain uncomfortable. Like we couldn't really walk without like just being completely surrounded by people. Wait times were a lot, even in the lightning lanes. And then a lot of rides had some difficulties while we were there. I didn't really experience that last time I was there, but I mean, we had probably over the course of 3 days, six Use Anywhere lightning lanes issued to us because the lightning lanes that we had reserved, we then couldn't use because the rides were down at the time that we had the reservation. So it definitely at times felt a little more frustrating. And I think it was just that spring break surge and, it was a little overwhelming, still magical nonetheless, but there were definitely some moments of like, this is not what I remember from last year. So I had some moments of like small panic.
I want to play a little game. I'm going to try to guess the six attractions that were down, okay?
Okay, let's see this.
I hope I remember.
I think I remember.
Okay.
I'm going to start with Indiana Jones.
Actually, technically, it was never down when we used it. We
Okay.
did use our use anything lightning lane to get on it when other attractions went down.
But it did experience
It
downtime
was
while we were there.
definitely had downtimes when we were there.
That one tends to have moments of I don't want to do this today. Indiana Jones, I'm gonna go with Guardians.
That one we went early. That was our first one in DCA. So it probably broke down earlier in the day, but it didn't for us.
Okay, I'm over too. What were some of the attractions? Were they older
Okay.
attractions or were they new?
So the one that really
Spider-Man.
frustrated us on day one, yeah, Spider-Man was one of them. But the ones that really frustrated on day one was we had decided to do Park Hopper, and that's
Okay.
a whole nother thing we can get into in a second. But we had went back to our hotel, walked back in, and Zoe was really excited to do Matterhorn.
And the only reason we were going back into Disneyland Park was to do Matterhorn because we didn't have time to do it before we left for our nap time. And also, we couldn't get a lightning lane before we left for nap time. So we snagged like a 7 p.m. lightning lane. We were going to go back and do that and then head across the way to DCA for the evening. And so we get all the way in the park, all the way to the ride, and it is down. And
Oh.
I was just so sad because we'd been waiting all day. So we did.
We decided we were going to go, and we're like, you know what? Let's go on Space Mountain because I like Space Mountain over in Disney World. Let's go there. Space Mountain was also down at the same time. And so then it was a frustration. So we were like, you know what? We were planning on going over to DCA anyway. It really is like they say, folks. It is literally 30-second walk
A hop,
from
skip, and a jump
Disneyland to
away.
DCA. It's pretty incredible. But you walk over to DCA, and then the frustration, I think, was that the so those of you that know Avengers Campus, first of all, walking onto Avengers Campus for the first time was an amazing experience for a Marvel geek like me. But the web shooters lightning lane line was wrapped the entire length of the building, all the way down to where Spider-Man traditionally does his meet and greet, which
Wow, that's far.
it's really far. And it ended up taking us about 45 minutes, which is a weird definition for the word lightning. But it was so packed and so jammed. And I don't know if they just oversold or what was going on,
Well, I
but.
also think it's because so many attractions did go down, and then you're trying to fill all that space of all those people who would be on those attractions. But also, like, Incredicoaster went down quite a few times. And so when it would come back up, everybody saved their Use Anywhere Lightning Lane just to go back and get on Incredicoaster. So then you have like an hour and a half's worth of lightning lanes on top of the reservations that are all ready for that time, coming back to try to do the ride when it comes back up. So I think it was a little bit of that too.
Yeah, for sure. But those those were some of the frustrations, just the amount of people. But honestly, like you were saying, mostly a positive experience. going back to the park hopper real quick.
Yeah, I want to talk about
one
that.
Yeah, Justin's the one that kind of talked us into that. So Zoe had never done park hopper. Traditionally, the way that she likes to do the parks is like one park, one day. Me, I always love to have park hopper because I usually take like that midday nap. So I rope drop and then go back. And then I'm like, and now I have the freedom. I've already done what I want to do for the day. Now, if I'm at Disney World, I can go hop into Epcot for the night or whatever the case may be. And so I wanted to do what we were thinking about doing was the first 2 days, not park hopping. We're going to do Disneyland and then DCA and then do purchase a park hopper for the last day, kind of like while we're there. I priced that out. It was going to be like $65 for the ticket to do park hopper for the last day. When Justin looked at it for us for the 3 day total, it was $70. So it was literally $5 more to do like the additional 2 days.
Yeah.
And I think that like even you who likes to do one park at a time, I think you enjoyed being able to have the flexibility to go back and do both, right?
The flexibility was really nice. And especially when we were running into some of those situations of like, and you know, being people who go to Disney World frequently, I think that some of those rides down experiences are maybe a little bit less frustrating because we know we'll be back to do it again 100%. Soon. But when Disneyland is like a once maybe every couple of years kind of a thing, I think that pressure of like, well, gosh, we got to get everything done because we don't know when we'll be back in this park kind of set in a little bit. But having the flexibility to be able to backtrack to other things as they open back up or make quick shifts in plans and be able to say, well, this isn't working. So, but there's not a very long line at, you know, Goofy Sky School or whatever. Let's just go across the way and go hit that really quick. Was really nice. It may have changed my ways and how I approach my Disneyland vacationing moving forward.
Well, you know, what's funny you say that because I am, there's a couple things that I tell clients all the time. If you're going to Disneyland, I think park hopper is a necessity. I just don't, the fact that you can jump from, you know, you can be on Pirates and 10 minutes later be at Incredicoaster is a complete just game changer because now you're working as really just one park as a whole. Mm-hmm. Whereas Walt Disney World, I kind of tell people, you don't really need park hopper. You know, that's what I tell people. I mean, Craig, it's a little different because you know what you like, but for people who don't go that often, I tell them like, go to one park one day. There's enough to do to where you can enjoy it. Yeah. So it's really two different, completely different vacation styles whenever you do Walt Disney World and Disneyland.
Absolutely. I totally get that. And I think if it makes a difference, like if you're going to do like the break in the middle of the day, because then in Disneyland and DCA, we didn't do a ton of like, let's jump over to that park because it's got a low wait time. We really still kind of stuck to like, let's go back and kind of rest and like change for the night, because California at this time of year too was doing like, you know, it was very hot during the day. It gets a lot chillier at night.
We had to do and a costume so change.
It was nice to be able to go back and to relax. Those of you that are looking for lesser accommodation, or like, shouldn't say lesser or cheaper. Those sound like negative words. More affordable accommodations. We stayed at Castle Inn and Suites, and it's on the corner of the same road as Disneyland. It seemed like it was like a 5 minute walk there, and then it was about a 45 minute walk back somehow. I don't know how it got longer, but Castle Inn and Suites was great. And I think it was about $200 a night. I mean, it really was a nice place. If you're just going to go in and use it as like a hotel, you're just going to stay there. They didn't have a lot of amenities when it came to things like no continental breakfast or anything like that. But I mean, like you, like it, as a hotel, it was clean. It was nice rooms and I felt really safe there. And so it was, that was a place that I would recommend staying for sure.
I think a lot of people don't realize too that some of those Good Neighbor resorts, they are actually as close or closer than the Disneyland hotel. Like if you stay at the Disneyland hotel, it is a hike to get over to the parks at times. I mean, like, because unless you're cutting through the Grand California, through the Grand Californian and coming through that way, like it's a haul. Like it's, I mean, it's, it can be an absolute haul to get from one spot to another. And then when we were there for the DDP trip, Pixar Pier was getting completely renovated and stuff like that. So a few people stayed there, but most people stayed at Disneyland Hotel. And I think that's the one thing they took away was, man, you can stay at some of these Good Neighbors and save a ton of money, pretty, you know, do a Disneyland vacation, still be right there. And also you were saying like not a lot of amenities. You really think about it, man, other than like some of the dining options and the pool and stuff like that, none of the Disney hotels have those amenities either. You're not getting a continental breakfast at Disney. It's not happening.
You know, you're right. Absolutely. And I'll tell you what's wild about our trip as well is that we didn't really even go over to that side of the kind of entrance to Disneyland and DCA. So we did not do downtown Disney at all. We didn't do any of that because we were just spending our time in the parks. And so they always say to leave with more things to do. And 3 days was a good amount for a trip. Mm-hmm. But had we had that fourth day, I'm sure we would have done a lot more exploring in those areas. But I'm excited because now it's like I want to go back and see, you know, my home resort for DVC is Wilderness Lodge, and so the Grand Californian is kind of like considered the sister location of Wilderness Lodge. And so even if I can't stay there because it's hard to get in as a DVC owner, I still would love to go and experience that place and go to Storyteller's Cafe or something like that. So I'm excited to go back and check out the things I didn't get to as well. One more thing, just kind of Disneyland in general, and I'm sorry this is a little bit scatterbrained, but
no, it's the way it's a conversation. I love it. That's the way we do things.
Well, I love that it you could do the Genie Plus reservations in advance of your trip. So they used to allow that at Disney World. They've taken that away. And you know, it's always like for me, like the crazy Disney guy, I'm okay with the idea of waking up at like 6:30 to purchase Genie Plus and then start booking things at 7. Justin, I know that is not necessarily your vibe.
That's not my jam. I'm not. No.
So like we do Disney slightly differently there. But, you know, it's nice to have been like, hey, Justin, can you just add Genie Plus to our tickets? And it was done. We paid our amount. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we actually got a little bit of a discount. I think we spent like $25 a day each ticket. So it was a little bit less than if you purchased it in person on the day of. And that was that. So the dining was reserved beforehand, Genie Plus and park hopping all rolled into that ticket price, which for me, that's why I kind of used to like the dining plan over in World. I don't do it anymore because I just don't get like I don't eat enough to be able to do it. But I liked the idea of making your Disney trip as all inclusive as possible because you start to see that money add up on those like mobile orders and purchases and things like that. And you're just like, oh, man, this is going to hurt the wallet when I get back. Yeah. And so like the fact that we didn't have to spend $75 first thing every morning like you would, or even more than that at Walt Disney World now, because prices are going crazy with Genie Plus over there.
Yeah.
But the fact that I didn't have to wake up and first thing in the morning drop like $75 to $100 was nice.
I don't understand why Walt Disney World doesn't transition to that, because one, here's what would happen. You know, I was just at Walt Disney World for a conference for Earmarked Agencies. And we sat in a meeting, and without going into too many boring details, they were talking about Genie Plus sales and Memory Maker sales and that kind of stuff. And it was funny because the one thing they kind of were saying was, hey, you know, we really would like families to pre-purchase Memory Maker, which for me, look, I think Memory Maker for any Disney family is the greatest purchase you can make. I think it is the ultimate souvenir that you can bring home from a Disney vacation because now everyone's in the shot. You got your on-ride photos. I just told somebody that just today that I was talking to. But if they did that for Walt Disney World, I think they would see Genie Plus sales skyrocket because the majority of people that I talk to would say, yes, I want to go ahead and do it. Whereas when you go to the parks, they're going to do it for just Magic Kingdom or Magic Kingdom Hollywood Studios. They're not doing it for Epcot. They're not doing it for Animal Kingdom. And if they're on a budget, I'm telling them, don't do it for Animal, you know, because there's just a lack of attractions to try to do this with. Whereas mm-hmm. with Disneyland, being able to just go ahead and pre-purchase it, have it out of mind, and now you can make payments on it, you know, leading up to your vacation. It's not a one-time, boom, here's $100, $150, depending on your family size for that one day that it's already done. I would love to see I'd love to see Disneyland take Walt Disney World's dining reservation system and Walt Disney World to take Disneyland's Genie Plus system and really just copy those. I think it would just make it a lot more efficient for all Disney fans around the continental U.S. to travel to those two parks. I think it would be really great. But we're talking about dining, so I do want to get into some dining. I want to talk, where did we eat? Because this is weird for me because normally I'm in. Like, I know where you guys are eating because I've made your dining reservations. I have no idea where you ate at, so I'm excited to get into it.
Oh, yeah. So we kind of did like one special meal a day for our 3-day trip. So our first day, the special meal was to eat at the Blue Bayou.
Oh, nice.
So right inside Pirates, which, is a fan favorite among our household for sure. So it was so cool to be immersed in the environment of Pirates and to get to see some of the boats go by. And from our table, we kind of waved some crews off. And then when we were on the boat, waved to people that were eating and got some like friendly hellos back. And that was really cool and really fun. I had the prime rib and Craig had the Monte Cristo.
Ooh,
Yeah,
how was
and
that? Because I've had the prime rib. I have not had the Monte Cristo.
well, so that's why I decided to go for lunch because, well, first of all, we knew that like we're probably going to get into the park and it'd be nice to have like a dedicated spot to go. And we did a little bit of a later lunch. It was around 2 p.m. And because they don't have the Monte Cristo at dinner time, which is kind of weird to me because
That's weird.
you definitely could. I mean, it is huge. And like, it's basically like eating a ham sandwich wrapped around a funnel cake. With a funnel cake. And it is like, and they get like a strawberry or raspberry kind of jam that you can add as a side. It was delicious. It was like one of the best things that I ate. It was so good. And just the ambiance of the place was really cool. It's like the fact that you're in this place that so many of the Imagineers that we've interviewed on our show, we asked them what their favorite attraction is, and almost to a person, from Tony Baxter on down, it's been Pirates of the Caribbean, because I think that that is such a remarkable attraction with so much Disney history. To be in that spot was just really neat. And even my son, who doesn't necessarily nerd out about the Disney history, I mean, he's 8 years old, he still really just loved the ambiance of the whole place. He ate it up.
He did. It was very cool. It's a perfect Disney attraction in my eyes. But this doesn't have to do with food, but I do want to tell a fun little story about our experience. So immediately after eating, we had a Lightning Lane reservation to ride Pirates. We just thought that would be fun to finish the meal and then go around and hop right on the attraction. And so we're on the boat and the people in the row behind us are talking, and somebody points to some illusion that takes place and was like, "That's like what we were talking about at Imagineering yesterday." And Craig turns around and he goes, "You went to Imagineering? I am so jealous. That is so cool. That would be like a dream come true." And they're like, Yeah. And so Craig, I mean, they were very friendly, but Craig turns around and we don't think anything of it, but we get off the ride and notice that the people who had been sitting behind us were VIP tour guides.
Oh yeah.
And
And there was like a huge
a
entourage
huge
and stuff.
entourage. And so we start to like be like, okay, well, who is that? Because clearly it's somebody important. So we turn around and look, and lo and behold, it's Carmen Smith, who like is an Imagineer. And Craig had just turned around and been like, "Oh, you went to Imagineering? Oh my gosh, that's so cool." So that was kind of fun to get to. I don't know, like we love all of the Disney like docuseries and things like
Yeah.
that on Disney Plus, the Behind the Attraction and the Imagineering story and all of these different really great programs where you get to learn the ins and outs of the park. And so seeing somebody who we've seen on shows like that and in interviews and things like that, it was really pretty remarkable
Did
and
it all
pretty
snap
cool.
right then whenever you saw, you're like, oh, like it clicks, instantly. You're like,
Well,
yeah.
like on the attraction, I couldn't quite tell. And I
It's
just looked
dark,
back and
yeah.
I just made my smart aleck response. And then when she got off the attraction and she had like a throng of people around her, I
Yeah.
was like, oh, this person's important. And then I looked and I was like, wait, she's an Imagineer. Like I knew who that I'd seen her before, but I didn't know who how to place her. So luckily, like back at home, B Bonner, one of my co-hosts, was like, I'm on this, I'm gonna figure it out. And so she did. And so then later on in the day, we were over in DCA, and Zoe and my son had went back to go rest, and I was kind of hanging out in DCA. We were going to talk to one of the guest relations folks about Lightning Lanes, and out of the guest relations area comes Carmen Smith and her entourage again. I didn't end up saying like hi or like that. I didn't want to bother her, but it was really funny just to see them twice in the parks, both parks, Disneyland and in DCA.
Was she, were they doing some sort of like, this wasn't them just touring her, was it? If she had like three, was this like a learning experience for the VIP tour guides to go there and then come?
It looked like it was her family, honestly.
Okay,
Like, I think
gotcha.
it was like, but it was, she had a large, I would say there was a VIP tour guide, and then there was someone in a like full business suit
Okay.
in the California
It's probably
Sun.
like a Disney
So I think
executive.
that was probably more like the other, maybe like the Imagineering piece of it, like
Gotcha.
the VIP and someone from Imagineering, and then her whole family. And so it was a lot of people that they were bringing around. But it was cool to ride, some of the
Super
Imagineers'
cool.
favorite attractions with an Imagineer. So that was fun.
Well, you know, and with pirates, it's the only attraction that you, as you eat, you are a part of the attraction. Like you are a living, working, audio animatronic pretty much in this attraction, as you float through the bayou before you go back in time. And that makes that such a unique experience that you're a part of this attraction. I've always said, you know, we've talked about multiple times that I think the Haunted Mansion, you do a restaurant in the Haunted Mansion, and the first part of it is before you see the ghost. It's live, you know, like going by a live restaurant there in the Haunted Mansion. I think it would be super cool. So that's really, really awesome. So Blue Bayou, any other meals that really stuck to you? You're like, oh, this is a place I've got to go to again.
Yeah, so the second day, we went to Lamplight Lounge, and I was able to book it right at Golden Hour, which was a suggestion in a lot of the groups. And I'll tell you, Justin, that's my version of heaven now. Like,
Yeah.
Lamplight Lounge was incredible. They sat us on the dock kind of area where you could just see Incredicoaster going on. We had some of the secret menu item cocktails that you can get, and it was like my steak nachos were amazing. Like, everything about that meal, I don't know if I need to do Blue Bayou every time, but I absolutely now, like, this is going to be my spot that I have to go back to every time that I'm in Disneyland or Disney California Adventure. Lapland Lounge was, and I love Pixar. I love Inside Out.
Yeah.
I love like these underrepresented Pixar movies in the parks sometimes that are just like incredible that you don't necessarily get to see a ton of, and they're all represented there. There's so many foreign country like movie posters and takes on those, and there's just animation everywhere in that place. It's perfect. It's perfectly themed, and it's just incredible.
Yeah, and earlier that day, if I'm remembering my days correctly, we visited the San Francisco area, which was still under construction when I was there a year earlier, and had lunch there. And I will say, we went to these incredible places, but the best food that I had the entire trip was the birria tacos that I
Oh,
got
okay.
from San
Yeah.
Francisco. They were so just A plus, perfect pick me up. I enjoyed them very much.
And that's what Disney does really well is that we went into San Francisco and they had different levels of like adventurous eating and different ethnicities and things like that for everybody. So I had like a bao bun that I absolutely loved. Zoe had tacos and my son had mac and cheese. You know, like
Perfect.
things for everybody. And I always think that that's really great that Disney does. But then the last bit of dining, I'll let Zoe take from the last day, like our special one for day three.
So we did a character dining experience and had breakfast at the plaza with Minnie Mouse and friends. And it was just the perfect start to our last day. The thing that I think Disneyland does so well, on top of all of the other things, is the character
100
interactions. I
percent.
mean,
Yep.
they are everywhere all the time, and they are so accessible and easy to be able to interact with versus, I don't know. I just feel like they're not as out and about at Disney World. And so we had had some really great encounters prior to that. But we got to meet just a whole crew of awesome characters during that meal. So, like, the food was just like your standard Disney breakfast. I had like biscuits and gravy and a Mickey waffle. And so, like, it wasn't anything like super exciting.
Wait a minute. Mickey waffles are very exciting.
Okay, yes, they're always exciting.
So
But like,
we just had an argument in our house just like 2 days ago. Okay. So Riley goes, I want to make pancakes. And I go, all right, we'll get you the stuff to make pancakes, you know, in the mornings. Cause she's old enough now. She's almost 12. Like she can make her pancakes before she goes to school. But we have a Mickey waffle maker here at the house. So I go, all right. So I buy the Bisquick, you know, the pre-mix. You should put some water in there, shake it, you know, and then you pour it out and you can make your Mickey waffle. And she goes, well, I'm making pancakes. And I go, no. If you pour it in a waffle maker, you're making waffles. And she's like, but it's still pancake mix. And I'm like, but if it goes in a waffle maker, it's a waffle. And just we went back and forth, and then come to find out, we have a Mickey pancake maker. We don't even have a Mickey waffle maker. I didn't even have a clue. Awesome. Yeah, I was wrong the whole time. Yeah.
That's great. I would say that I would have been on your side, because, I mean, if it goes in a waffle maker, it's a waffle. I mean, I understand right. There's Belgian waffle mix, but at the same time, like, if it's a waffle, it's a waffle.
Yeah.
And I'm a big waffle guy. See, I don't like pancakes necessarily, but I'll eat me. Like, we're going on this cruise in July, and I plan to just live on Mickey waffles. So, like, that's just what's going to happen. But, yeah.
But all that is to say that it was just your standard, like, Disney breakfast food. And that's no shade on the Mickey waffle. It's great. But, you know, it wasn't anything, like, new or exciting. But we were so excited to get to meet, obviously, right off the bat, you meet Minnie Mouse before you even are seated in the restaurant. We got to meet Winnie the Pooh and Tigger, Chip and Dale, Pluto. We got to meet Susie and Perla. That was my personal favorite. Perla, I had like on a purple dress, very similar to Perla's, and I had a Cinderella bag. She like pointed out that we looked, you know, the same in our purple, and like pointed at my bag and like drew a heart. And then she like pulled me out of my chair and like twirled me around. And I was all of a sudden like 5 years old again and just having the absolute time of my life. So that was a lot of fun. And the boy was super excited to meet Pooh Bear and Tigger and all the Winnie the Pooh characters. And it was just a really delightful breakfast. And we had an 8 a.m. reservation there. So we were done, I don't know, 8:45-ish. And the mornings is really when you can catch a lot of characters out. So even just leaving breakfast, we immediately ran into Bert and Captain Hook and a bunch of other characters on our walk to our next attraction. And that was really, really fun just to have so many interactions in such a short amount of time. It was pretty magical.
I would definitely recommend all three of those restaurants, though, especially the Plaza. If you're looking to do a character meal, it was cool because it wasn't just the standard characters. I mean, it was like you get a little bit of everything there. And so dining wise, it was a hit. I mean, I really enjoyed all of those. I would go back to probably all of them. Like I said, Lamplight's going to be the one I have to go back every time. But the other two, I would absolutely go back to in a heartbeat.
Yeah, Blue Bayou is for that's the same with me. It doesn't have to be every single trip, but definitely on the list. But Lamplight, the views from Lamplight are just, I mean, they're stunning. Like, you know, it's just absolutely fantastic. I want to talk about characters for a second, though, because you guys talked about all the characters you met. For those people who have not been to Disneyland, let me give you a little just background on how characters work at Disneyland. You know Walt Disney World. You get in a queue, you wait. Hey, how are you? Take a picture, sign an autograph book, and then you move along. The second we got on property for our DDP Disneyland trip last year, we walked into Disneyland and sitting right as you go through the gate, it's, you know, and that's a little different too with tickets. People don't realize they take your picture. You know, it's not like, you know, it's a little different than the Magic Kingdom and Walt Disney World. But right sitting as soon as you walk through the gates was Belle reading a book. Just sitting there. And you go, what? And then one time we were there and the Disneyland band came out right in front of the castle and started playing Tale as Old as Time. And here came the Beast and Belle, and they're just dancing out there. Peter Pan just walking around. Riley drops something out of her bag over in Pixar, and she was picking up everything. And as you see a gloved hand come in, and it's Bo Peep, and she's just helping Riley pick up stuff. I mean, it's just like, it really is. And I understand they cannot get away with that at Walt Disney World. Disneyland is a locals park. It's not, you know, you don't have the mass amount of people coming from all around the world. Walt Disney World, they would be mugged. I mean, they would be tackled and mugged. Disneyland, there's just something so special about the almost, I know this sounds terrible coming from a vacation planner, the lack of planning you have to do when it comes to things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was, and I'll say even the ones that you, so like Avengers Campus, I was really pumped to meet some superheroes, and so was my son. But even they spend so much more time with you. Like those are more traditional cues, but at the same time, they're spending minutes with you. And I mean, like they're talking, they're having full conversations. I had like my childhood dream of meeting Captain America, thanks to Zoe tracking him down for me. But I walk up and I've got my magic band and it's Sam Wilson, Captain America. And he goes, "Hey, so I see you're supporting the new kid." And I go, "Yeah, I love Sam." And he goes, "Yeah, I like him too. That's why I gave him the shield." And then he's like, "You know, I got to tell you, a lot of people ask me, like, who's my favorite Captain America? I always tell them it's Sam." And I go, "Yeah, that's because you're just so humble." And he goes, "No, I mean, like, I really think he deals with the politicians and all of that way better than I ever could." And it's like, that's like storylines for like
Right.
where we're going with like Brave New World, like coming out next February. Like, and the guy looked, I mean, the character
Could
looked
have been
like Chris
Chris
Evans.
Evans.
Like, I mean, it's just, it was absolutely
Well, I know where
remarkable.
Katie would have
And
been the whole time if that was the
oh
case, so yeah.
yeah. Well, and then my son, we run over and we get in line for Loki. And you know, like he doesn't necessarily know, like he hasn't watched the Loki series.
Right.
He's seen clips of Avengers and whatnot, but he hasn't really watched a lot of the MCU. But like Loki is sitting there and he's just drawing in his book for him, his autograph book, which I've never done an autograph book before for kids, but man, at Disneyland, I tell you, it's the
A
best money you
must.
can spend. And because he absolutely loved it. And he got such a variety of characters to sign that thing. But Loki spent like legit 5 minutes with him. He was the last one in the queue that they allowed. And he just talked to him. We took pictures with him. He got pictures by himself. He was talking to him about like how they should run the show. And so all of this, like, it's just incredible the interactions you have, even when there are lines.
Well, and like my favorite moment, this is a little bit different because it's not your typical like wait in a queue or even just happen upon a character, but we were watching the parade on our last day, and by the way, A plus
So
parade, like
good. So
one of
good.
my probably favorites among all that I've seen in the parks. It just, oh, it's so good. But there was a crew that was like the fairy godmother and the blue fairy, and there were a couple of others that came through, and there was a little girl sitting next to us who had clearly done the Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique, and she was all decked out as Cinderella. And I'm a sap anyway. I cry so easily at anything. And I think it was a combination of that, and like it was our last day, and I was really in my feels. But the fairy godmother spots this little girl and waves to her. And, you know, it was a sweet moment. It very similar to, I think, when you see like, you know, princesses spot little girls dressed like them in any of the parades. But she then, after finishing whatever routine they were doing in that moment, circled back to this little girl and got down on her level. And she just said to her, "Oh, princess, you are just as beautiful as my Cinderella." And like this little girl just lit up and I lost it. Craig was doing a live stream of the parade from for his Beyond the Mouse page, and I went back and watched it a couple of days later just because I was missing it and I wanted to watch the parade, but his phone died right after. You see me watching this interaction happen, and I just turned to him sobbing, and I'm just like, "Oh my gosh, it's magic." And then the phone dies, and that's the end of the parade streaming for the page. But it really was
Yeah.
just exceptionally like over the top magic.
That's what makes Disneyland different. And Zoe, you and I need to go to Disney together because I am the 41-year-old who's waving to all the princesses like during the parade, like crazy trying to get their attention. You know, I'm like,
Yes.
hey,
I sent
hey.
him a video the other day. It was like some mom who was showing a video of her little girl at Disney, and you know, the argument like people make of like, "Oh, well, when they're two or three, like they won't remember, or they can't do everything when they're so little. So wait to take them until they can do everything."
That's
And it was one of those
craziness.
like, "Don't wait to take them because she won't always be three," going, and I'm like, "But listen, I'm 31," and I'm like, it never ended for me.
Nope. And not so we have a new little one on the way. We announced last show. And we her first,
Congratulations.
thank you so much. We're very excited. Her first trip, she's gonna be 6 weeks old. And so we're for wine and dine. So look, those people can say she won't remember. Yeah, she won't remember. But guess who will? I will. Katie will. Riley will. Like, we'll have those moments. And then she's turning around. She's going again for marathon weekend. So she'll get two Yay! Disney vacations before she will be over 4 months old. So pretty, wow. pretty epic the way she's starting her That's Disney journey.
Yeah,
yeah, man.
Pretty awesome.
Well, I tell you what. Disney, before we start to close up and I get your final opinions about your Disneyland vacation, Disneyland provides everyone with an awesome, awesome ability to create some magic with some amazing photo spots around the parks. And the one thing we love on our DDP communities, when you go over DDP patron or DDP family over on Facebook and you post those pictures. So that brings me to my favorite part every week, Picks of the Week.
Picks of the Week. Picks of the Week. It's time for us to get our Picks of the Week.
DDP family, favorite thing every week, Picks of the Week. I'm going to, of course, go to my guest first. Let me start with Zoe. Zoe, what's your pick of the week this week?
My pick of the week is the picture from Irene Smith, the May the 4th Be With You picture from Inside Smuggler's Run. Looks like perhaps being a pilot or pictures of the pilots. I was telling Craig yesterday on May 4th that I actually have never really seen Star Wars. I've, you know, my family's had it on at home before, and I've caught like bits and pieces here. And my little brother made me go to the newest movie when it was released in theaters with him. But I don't have a whole lot of background and context. So we actually just started from the beginning today with A New Hope. And I am loving it so far. So I love a little Star Wars moment here and want to shout that out.
I love it. This is perfect because one, the Smiths are our West Coast DDP family. Like they are at Disneyland all the time. So this is right. When we were out there with DDP family, it was like, Irene, what's the snack over here I want? She's like, oh, I'll tell you what, you got to have this. And two, Zoe, you and I are kind of in the same boat. Now I've seen all the Star Wars, most of Star Wars. I'm not really a Star Wars fan like all these other guys are. So, you know, just let me know what you think in the long run, but I'm excited for you that you're getting to experience something new. So that'll be awesome. Craig, your pick of the week, brother.
So I got to go. You know, I always love to choose whenever I'm on the show. I always pick from the DDP Today Sorcerer's Running Club because, as we talked about earlier, like this is a place of true inspiration for me. But it was cool to see one of my listeners who I think may have joined the running page from Beyond the Mouse, because really, I try to push all of my listeners to go over to the DDP Today Sorcerer's Running page. And that's Jonathan Gardner. And so Jonathan is a person that's been on my show before. He's a patron of my show, and just he does some amazing stuff. He loves Disney, loves to run and get active as well. And so he posted in there a pic of him running around with his wife, and they were doing a island time race. And he's got Pascal on his shoulder, which is kind of fun because Tangled, I do know, is his favorite of the Disney movies. But then what I think is pretty inspirational about Jonathan is that he has been doing at least one monthly race for 157 consecutive months.
Wow.
And so for those of you bad at math, because I am, and I had to do a quick calculator, that's over 13 years that he has been doing a consecutive race every single month. And that's really cool. So congrats to Jonathan on continuing that. And just great to shout him out on this show. And it's funny, I talk about him so much on Beyond the Mouse, and now I get to talk to him about him here too.
That's a great pick. And one, that's a really great accomplishment because it's hard to find races in the summer a lot of places. So absolutely awesome. Way to go. I'm cheering for you even harder because I want to see that number keep growing as we keep going. So you got to post every month. You got to post your race over the DDP Sorcerers page over there. I'm going to go with my good friend Emilio. He was on the Wish and had an amazing cruise with the family, spent some time at Disney beforehand. And man, I tell you what, seeing families go out there, have amazing cruises. That's, you know, that is my, I love it. I love Disney Cruise Line, everything about it. I've done 13 of them and I will do now 13 more with the new baby on the way. So, so excited. Emilio, it looks like you had an absolute blast. And man, thank you for posting that picture. DDP family, I tell you what, it is always so great to have Craig and Zoe on the show. It's so great to see you guys. I really do appreciate you. I appreciate what you do at Beyond the Mouse. I appreciate the community you've built, the show you put out, the content. It is really, really a special, special place. If you've not listened to Beyond the Mouse, go right now. Go listen to it. You can find it anywhere you can find podcasts. but also join their Facebook communities, join their Patreon. I'm telling you, it is absolutely worth it. I am a patron of Beyond the Mouse. I love it. I love the extra content. It's something really, really special. As we close up, tell me a little bit where people can find Beyond the Mouse that I didn't say. And also, anything that we didn't chat about your Disneyland trip, maybe your favorite snack you had overall. I think that's the one thing I meant to ask you and we did not get to.
Well, I'll say my favorite snack happened right away. I had a cream cheese filled pretzel that was to die for, way better than what they have over in Disney World. But you know what I think is funny is we spent an hour talking about Disneyland and we hardly talked about attractions. And yeah. I think that that really shows you kind of what Disney does in a way that no other company, no other place in the world can do, is they can immerse you in these experiences that are so much more than the attractions. I just real quick on the attractions, I would say 9 out of 10 times, if it is at Disney World and Disneyland, Disneyland has a better version of the attraction. Yes. The 10th time is Space Mountain. I will keep Space Mountain. I don't know if I need to go on it ever again at Disneyland, but I do really love it and enjoy it over in Walt Disney World. But I guess I'll just say Incredicoaster, one of my favorite Disney attractions ever now. And just even something like Storybook Canals, like the way that they do classic Disney over in Disneyland, just incredible.
I loved the Storybook Canals. I'm a big, well, not necessarily the movies, but the attraction, Indiana Jones, is one of my favorites over there. And I love the Matterhorn. I know a lot of people complain that it gives them like a chiropractic adjustment, but I just think it is pure fun riding the Matterhorn. So that is one that I always try to make sure I get to.
And such a cool connection point to those classic Imagineers. Oh, yeah. Bob Gurr is still around. He's doing his own show now on YouTube that you can follow, the Bob Gurr Show, where he's talking to other Imagineers and everything. So just really some incredible stuff. But your favorite snack?
The favorite snack was for sure the beignets. We got beignets and mint chips as a very late night snack one night. And I enjoyed both of those items very much.
Mr. Toads. I mean, come on. It's classic. It's amazing. Mr. Toads.
What
Mr.
I love Toads. Is when, like, when they send you, you know, when they send you to hell.
You to hell.
When they send you to hell, it smells like Rome burning. I was like, oh, I'm in Epcot. Like, apparently, let me say this for hell. I don't know.
Let me tell you this for the gentlemen out there. The Matterhorn's a lot of fun. But for the guys out there listening, just don't sit in the very back row of the Matterhorn because it is quite the experience. Okay. It'll make for a long day with that bump that you get whenever you go over some of those mounds on the Matterhorn. It gets you pretty good. Really, really fun. Well, guys, I've enjoyed this so much. You guys are going to stick around though. We're going to go over the patron side and chat over there. And I'm super excited because we're talking about, I actually have a bracket for us. Highest ranked movies of all time.
Whoa. Okay. That's awesome. I'm excited about that because that's how we kind of started our show. You plugged my patron. I got to tell you, I've been a patron of yours for forever. And the conversations that you have are incredible. And just so you know, you've changed my life with patron because I cannot ride now on either coast. I've determined I cannot ride Soarin' without thinking of me. And so people that are already patrons, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You're probably cracking up right now. If you're not, it is the easiest, the best money you'll spend every single month to listen to the guys on their patron show. So I'm excited to get to join this week.
I'm super excited. Zoe, close it up for us.
Final words about Disneyland Vacation. I love Disneyland. If you have thought maybe I might like to check that out someday, just do it. It's so magical and has such a wonderfully nostalgic feeling to it. And especially if you're kind of a Disney history nerd, it is a dream come true. We had, despite some of the things we talked about that caused a little bit of like stress, we had just the most magical time. It was an awesome trip that we got to do together. So
yeah,
it was absolutely So fun.
Well, I want to thank you guys for letting me be a part of it, for Craig for always being so supportive, for all these 7 years, for being a fantastic friend to me. And I look forward to many, many more years of creating Disney memories with you guys in the future. DDP family, thank you guys also. You've created an amazing community here. Be the best version of yourself, and we will see you real soon. Have a good night, everybody. On behalf of the Disney Dads, we want to say thank you. We hope you find a little magic in your life every day, spread some Disney love, and keep moving forward.
happily ever after. Each of us has a dream, a heart's desire. It calls to us, and when we're brave enough to listen and bold enough to pursue, that dream will lead us on a journey to discover who we're meant to be. All we have to do is look inside our hearts and unlock the magic within.
Ready to begin, let the wonder...
That's a wrap.
This has been YDF Media Productions.